In the name of God, our Creator, Christ our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit who moves through us. Amen. Please be seated. Well, as some of you all know, I hiked a mountain last summer, Mount LeConte, located in Gatlinburg, summits at 6,593 feet. It's most famous for LeConte Lodge, which sits almost at the top, featuring a bunch of wooden cabins and a dining hall that were built in the 1930s. The area doesn't have power and is so remote that the only way to get there is either by foot or with the llamas who bring the supplies up the mountain every day to the hotel. We didn't stay the night, which meant that we walked up and back in one day. Now, I'm the first to say that this was not a Kilimanjaro at 19,000 feet or an Everest at 29,000 feet. This was 65,000 feet, of which I physically hiked less than half. But having never done such an endeavor before, I wanted to be prepared. And so prepared I was, or so I thought. I bought the right shoes and the right clothing. I asked a lot of advice about what I needed to know. In the weeks ahead of time, I ran and ran and ran and ran up hills. I made sure that I packed enough water, snacks, food for lunch. I'm an over-preparer, so I thought I was prepared for just about anything, including bugs and bears. My first inclination that maybe I was not prepared enough was when we visited a local outdoor post the night before. It was more than 80 degrees outside. The outdoor post had posted the high temperature on top of Mount LeConte for that day. The day before, when it was 80 at the bottom of the mountain, the high was 39 at the top. My warmest piece of clothing that I had was a lightweight knit sweater. Not too prepared. My second inclination that I might not be as prepared as I thought I was is when my friend asked if I had a Mylar blanket in my pack. A Mylar blanket, one of those plastic blankets you use in case of emergency. This could not end well, I thought. Here I am thinking we're going to do a slightly difficult hike up and down a mountain and one day and back, and he's preparing for us to fall off a cliff and spend the night in the woods until we can be medevaced out the next day. While sleeping under a foil blanket. Should mention we didn't need the Mylar blankets, everything went wonderful, but there were some things that I just was not prepared for, despite my best efforts. The trail was harder than I had thought, and even though I had been running and was in great shape, it was a little difficult. I ended up with really bad blisters because I didn't have the right sort of socks. I didn't think about the fact that on the trail there aren't normal woods like we're used to around here, so there's really no coverage if you need to go to the bathroom. My lungs were a little bit weaker than I had expected, so it meant that I took the hike pretty slowly. There were some great unexpected things as well, things I couldn't have prepared for, like taking a nap at 6,500 feet in 39 degree weather on a rock that had been warmed all day by the sun, or sharing lunch with and making new friends at the top of the mountain on picnic tables, or the fact that squirrels at the top of the mountain are red instead of gray, which really surprised me. The fact that the llamas were so cute and so brilliant and so helpful at bringing the supplies that I really teared up when I saw them coming up the mountain. Or just the fact of how beautiful and amazing things look from 6,000 feet. Those are things I couldn't have been prepared for. Today, on this third Sunday of Advent, we talk about John the Baptist, the one whom Jesus called the greatest prophet of all time, the one who tells us over and over again to prepare the way of the Lord. To go on a journey with John the Baptist is to go on a journey into the wilderness to prepare our hearts and minds for the coming of the Christ child. John calls us to prepare the way of the Lord, he says. And by quoting Isaiah and Malachi and the prophets of old, he reminds us that we are preparing the way for God to restore God's people. That the God who is coming will open the eyes of the blind and the ears of the deaf and make the lame leap like a deer and the speechless sing. That the God who is coming will help water to flow in deserts and dry places and make a pathway for all of us to travel into peace and safety. John reminds us that we are preparing the road for the King of Peace. And that one way that you prepare roads for kings is to make sure that they are passable. In the olden days, you would go before the king to make sure that the road was passable and safe. You'd pick up rocks and stones and move boulders and check for predators and make sure that the king could come through. That's how we prepare this Advent. We prepare by making sure the road is clear and ready for the King of Peace to triumphantly come through. We walk ahead on our road in the wilderness to pick up our boulders of hate and envy and jealousy and self-interest and greed and gluttony so that the King of Peace might have a more clear and ready path to come and visit. This is one of our reminders today, to prepare the road of the Lord, to make his way ready, to remove the rubble and stone that is in our lives that may cause the road to be a little bit harder for the king to come. To remove the stones of inequity or disrespect or self-importance or self-privilege in our hearts, in our homes, and in our workplaces. We are today to remove those stones and rocks that make it harder for the King of Peace to get through. There's a great story in Luke's version of John the Baptist. The one where John reminds folk that they shouldn't be going out in the wilderness to see John or want to get baptized because they're motivated by fear. But instead that they should be motivated by a desire to really want to change and repent and amend their lives and be made new. And in Luke's version, the people ask John, what should we do? They ask, what should we do to prepare? And John says, to share their food and their coats. And tax collectors and soldiers come and they ask John, what do we do to prepare? The same question. And John says to them, don't take more than is yours and don't extort people. One of the ways to really get ready for the King of Peace to walk down our path is to remove the rubble of us. All that stuff of me or ego or I or self-interest in order to make room for the one who is coming to care for all, to shepherd all. And we do so not because we're fearful, but because we actually want to change and we want to see the king. We also can't start on this journey to see John, to repent, to amend, to prepare for the coming of Christ, to clear our paths until we're at least willing to take a step into the wilderness. This is what I find is the absolutely mind-blowing, fascinating, a miracle part of this story for today. That you had an entire group of people from Judea and Jerusalem who were willing to take a step into the wilderness. Think about it for a minute. You had an entire group of people who wanted to be saved. Sure, there were the brood of vipers people who were scared of the wrath to come, but there are also people out in that wilderness who were pouring out their hearts, their deepest, darkest secrets, people who were crying, people who were really asking for a changed life, people who want to change. I mean, these people really wanted to prepare the way of the Lord. I mean, you think about the fact that they had to take time to see John. Who knows, maybe they took off work or had to get someone to watch their kids or took an unpaid vacation day or said no to other commitments. But somehow they took the time to get there. They took the time to journey into the desert. And getting there wasn't like they just saw John down the street. This was an inconvenient journey. Going to see John had elements of intention and planning and foresight. You didn't just stumble upon him on the street. You went out into the wilderness to see him. You journeyed. And then after they got there, you had a whole group of people who were vulnerable and wanted forgiveness so much that they were able to admit that they were wrong, that they were able to take a step into the darkness of their own lives and to take their sin and darkness and face it head on. You had a whole group of people that wanted repentance from sins, who were repenting of grief and addiction and sin and self-interest and all sorts of things. And they were able and willing to take time to do so, to step into the wilderness. As with anything good, I suppose that those people had some pain. All of us, when we want to experience glory, go through a little pain. The darkest parts of their souls to see light, the tomb to see resurrection, the discomfort of blisters and heat and cold to meet John. They didn't go into the wilderness to see a reed shaken or someone in social status and nice clothes. They went to see John the Baptist, a crazy prophet dressed in camel's hair who would help them radically change their lives and pronounce forgiveness of sins. And they were okay with just that. They were okay with just baptism for the forgiveness of sins. They were okay with repenting and just receiving new life. They were there just to be changed, and they were okay with that. That's what they were prepared for. That's what they journeyed for. That's what they took steps into the wilderness to get to. That is what they expected. But once they got to the wilderness, they received so much more. For John calls out in prophecy, there is a greater one coming. I baptize you with water for the forgiveness of sins, but he will baptize you with spirit. And then right after that, in those days, Jesus comes to the wilderness. He travels from Nazareth. He comes to John. And there with all those people who had been working and preparing and repenting and amending, Jesus shows up. Now that is not what they expected. Could you imagine being out in that wilderness, working, preparing, repenting, moving your boulders? Jesus shows up. We can't imagine it. For no matter what we prepare for in life, even with blisters on the journey or in hot and cold or sacrificing whatever we need to prepare ourselves for the Christ child, we can't imagine what that will be like. Because Jesus showing up is always greater than anything we can ask or imagine. Always. Merciful God, who sent your messengers to preach repentance and prepare the way for our salvation, give us grace to heed their warnings and forsake our sins, that we may greet with joy the coming of Jesus Christ. Amen.